Well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, do you speak English, sir? Paula Usted English?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes. Welcome to the Tuesday edition before Christmas.
Yep, almost there.
How are we doing today?
Doing well. And yourself?
Doing very well.
Are you getting in the Christmas spirit?
Yeah, kind of have been already, yeah. So, yeah.
Kind of have been?
Yeah. Lights are shining, all that is good.
How early do you put up your lights at your house? Because I know you're very proud of it, very Parade of Homes-ish.
I did early this year. I'm on 9 News'
July.
I'm on 9 News' app, actually, by the way.
Are you really?
I'm not going to give everybody my address, but yes, I'm on the app.
Well, I know that I was able to, you know, I can tap into satellites. I could see your house from orbit.
Probably can, actually.
It's pretty cool, very colorful.
This year before Thanksgiving. Normally, I don't do it until right at Thanksgiving, but this year was sort of the, you know, short year and, you know, I don't know, just because of COVID. I don't know. Just put it up early.
Do you have all the, like, snowmen keeling over dead from COVID?
No inflatables at my place.
All right.
Sorry, no inflatables.
Hmm.
I am looking for, if anybody has one, even I'll do it for next year. I would like to get one of the big, large PVC nativity scenes. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
So they make these nativity scenes that are made out of PVC plastic for outdoor use. So you can put them up and they'll, you know, you stake them into the ground and everything. And they're just made out of like vinyl, you know, PVC vinyl basically. And they, you know, from a distance looks pretty realistic. If you get up close, it's just, you know, white vinyl cutouts. But it looks pretty good from a distance. You can light them up and everything. They're pretty cool.
I just never pictured vinyl sheep.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yes, it is. How did you like the lights out of Bandimere?
Did
you not make it?
I've not made it yet, but from everything I've heard, they're delightful.
Cool.
I've had several people I've known that have gone and seen them, and yeah, if you can get a ticket and go, do so. Well,
okay.
Worth it. Well worth going. All right, yesterday's question of the day, which, by the way, we all got wrong.
Oh, well.
It was 11% of households during the holidays, 11% of households will have an argument about this. And we talked about, you know, where do you go for Christmas? Or your case was, do you even have people over?
Do we gather for
Christmas? Do we even gather?
Right.
Whether it's too soon to play Christmas music.
Well, I know at your home, you argue with this on Christmas Day. You're thinking, honey, it's too soon.
A week or two before is okay, but not much prior to that. Even here on the station, here, I should say on my shows, Charlie's been doing it for the last couple of weeks or so off and on, and it's been fine.
I know, but you hate Christmas music.
Well, yeah, but you did some drive radio stuff because of the tapings and all that. So we've had a little bit of Christmas music here, but we don't do it for like weeks on end.
Is there President's Day music? That'd be kind of fun.
Right? Is that not one?
I know, but it's only one song, so you got to do it over and over and over.
A good one. I don't know. Good question.
What's today's question?
It is. Answer this on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. When we were kids, 71% of our parents would not allow us to do this. Now, as parents, about half of us do permit it. So when we were kids, 71% of our parents would not allow us to do this. Now, as parents, about half of us permit it.
Oh, that's easy. Change our gender. About half now.
And expect the government to pay for it if you're in jail, even.
Exactly.
Oh, Charlie said phone in the bedroom. Did you have a phone in your bedroom, Charlie? Did you?
Well, now it's cell phones, so you have them everywhere.
Oh, Charlie said some take them away.
Hmm. Yeah, but I don't think 50%.
So this is, yeah. Good catch, 50%. So half of us permit this now. And we only used to do about 71%. So when we were kids, 71% of our parents would not allow us to do this. Now as parents, about half of us do. Things change over time. I don't know.
You know, I got one that's reversed. Wrong holiday, but trick-or-treating alone. Back then, I guarantee you 71% at least said, yeah, sure. Probably 80, 90%. Nowadays, hardly anyone will let their kids trick-or-treat alone.
True. True. Guys, I don't have an answer to this one. We're all three of us are – this is a good one because all three of us are looking at each other like, I have the foggiest idea. I really don't know.
It's so broad. Half of our parents permit us to do something now. I don't know. You're a parent. You should have a leg up on this one.
I was hard on my kids. There was no monkey. I mean, you know how Richard was raised, and you've seen him today. There was no monkey motion in my house.
I know. Every time I reach out to shake his hand, he cowers in fear. No, he thinks I'm going to hit him.
He probably salutes. I mean, I ran it like a military camp. I mean, we didn't have any choice. I had too many kids. I didn't have a choice but to do it that way.
How many did you have?
Seven.
Wait a minute. You have seven kids?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
I thought it was just family, I thought you always just had Richard with different names call in.
No.
So you've had seven kids.
So I've raised a bunch of kids, yes.
Wow. Okay. Well, anyway, I got idea.
I mean, my kids probably, you know, hated me then, probably loved me today, but there wasn't a lot of slack.
How about eat dessert first?
You know, the way I watch some kids behave today, they could be 100 answers because honestly, I don't know, Andy. These kids today get by with so much that I would never let mine get by with. I have no idea.
Carry an unlicensed gun. I think at least half of the parents say you got to get a license for that puppy. Look, kid, you're five.
Yeah.
You just shouldn't do this.
Anyways, answer this on the KLZ560 Facebook page. Some good news.
Yeah.
For those of you that actually were able to get, which a lot of folks did, my clients did, the PPP loans. As of yesterday, and I think this is going to be signed in here in the next day or so, those loans, even if they are forgiven, which the majority will be, none of that will be counted as income, and you get to take all the expenses that go against it. So for once, I think this is probably, this is historical.
They did
something
right?
Because the IRS I'm not saying it's right. The IRS is allowing you to double dip, which has never happened, I don't think, ever in the history of mankind.
True.
So what I mean by that is you get to count the expense as a deduction. So let's say you had $100 of PPP money and you had to spend it on, you know, we're doing simple numbers here,
right.
But you got $100 in, you got to spend $100 of that on potentially rent and payroll.
It's okay.
There's other things, but for the most part, that's what it is. So now what happens, Andy, is you as a business owner get to keep the $100 expense on your 2020 taxes and if you get your $100 forgiven, that's not income because typically if you get money given to you, it's taxable.
Right, so you get to write off the expense that you didn't pay for.
Thank you. Double dipping.
Hey.
So all those businesses that got PPP loans are now double dipping. I'll be honest. This is the other thing, folks. Really, I'm going to say this. I did not think this was going to happen.
Well, I didn't either, but John, it's the least they can do. I mean, they did put everybody out of business. I mean, they did destroy their entire economy. The least they could do is say, gee, we're going to let you write it off of what we let you pay off.
Yeah. Something else that happened yesterday?
Yeah.
Which I never thought I'd ever see again, or that I ever thought I'd ever see in the
first
place.
Oh, I know what's coming. Who did you agree with?
AOC.
Yes.
I never thought I'd agree with her on anything. This is what she tweeted. This is why Congress needs time to actually read this package before voting on it. Members of Congress have not read the bill. It's over 5,000 pages, arrived at 2 p.m. today, and we're told to expect a vote on it in 2 hours. This isn't governance. It's hostage-taking, and I actually agree with her.
Yeah, but she said because she couldn't read it in that time, what you didn't see later is that she complained there were no pictures. You know, honestly, this
Good
is the
one.
First time I've ever seen AOC be a sentient being. So that alone was surprising. It really
I totally agree
with her. I totally agree with her. She's totally right.
We'll talk a little bit later in the program about the stimulus package and some of the ridiculous things that is in it, by the way. And yeah, we'll just get into that. I know Wall Street would disagree with me on this. We're going to play something from Rand Paul when we come back. But let me just say this, Andy.
Yeah.
We don't need a stimulus package. We need an opening of business package.
Yes. Wall Street, John, does not care about our kids or the future of our country.
They do not.
At all, period. Nope. So when somebody when Wall Street says something is good, that means absolutely zero.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
Yep.
It means, yeah, that'll help stocks for the moment. That's all it means.
Yep. I agree. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. I will play that from Rand Paul, which is a little side note. He just says, in much more eloquent terms, what Andy and I have been saying for months now. But it's nice to hear it from a politician.
Yeah, and boy, did he tear into him.
Good stuff. Extreme Auto Repair coming up next. Speaking of good stuff, they'll sell you Cooper tires at cost and check everything else out on your vehicle all at the same time as well. 303-841-1071, 303-841-1071, or find him at klzradio.com.
You never enjoy going to the dealership for maintenance because you always get the runaround. You'd much rather give your business to a local independent shop, but you assume you have to go back to the dealership to maintain your service contract. You bought the vehicle there, so you need to get it maintained there too, right? Wrong! Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will honor almost all service contracts. You pay your deductible just like you would at the dealership, and Extreme Auto Repair does the work. Two-time AAA award-winning Shop of the Year, Extreme Auto Repair in Parker does their best to make your life easier by offering everything you need to maintain your vehicle for as long as you drive it. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/extreme to find out whether or not Extreme Auto Repair will honor your dealership service contract. Promises kept.
You're at the point where you're tired of living in a kitchen that doesn't work, but you're overwhelmed at the thought of a total redesign. Yes, you'd love a new kitchen that works, but you feel daunted by the process. Here's the good news. By hiring the Enchanted Kitchens design team, not only are you guaranteed a gorgeous, functional, finished product, but you also get to hand over all the stress and uncertainty to a team of professionals who know what they're doing. The design team at Enchanted Kitchens has been doing this long enough to know that every kitchen will run into at least one design challenge. But with a team of experienced designers on your side, you won't need to face those challenges alone. Have a conversation now with the Enchanted Kitchens design team and start talking through the process together. Let them make it work for you. Set up a free, no-obligation consultation at the Experience Center. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Bruce Simmons is next. He is our reverse mortgage specialist, the professor of reverse mortgages. If you're sitting on a pile of cash, i.e. equity, and you'd like to do something with that, talk to Bruce, and he can figure out how to make that happen. That's what he does. 303-467-7821 or find him at klzradio.com.
Owning a relatively high-value home does not make you immune to cash flow problems. It's more expensive to maintain and insure. Property taxes seem to go up every year. And of course, you may have a sizable mortgage payment to make every month. You don't want to sell, but you wish you had a little more margin in your budget. As long as you continue to pay your taxes and insurance, a reverse mortgage with KLZ's Bruce Simmons could give you the financial cushion you need. Thanks to recent changes by the Federal Housing Administration, you may be able to eliminate your monthly mortgage payment, setting you up comfortably for as long as you live in the home. Starting in January of 2021, homeowners 62 years and older with higher value homes may tap into a larger portion of their equity, giving them a better chance of qualifying for the loan. Get in touch with Colorado's first certified reverse mortgage specialist now at klzradio.com/reverse.
God. Country. Reason. Now back to John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason. Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. So since we're talking about COVID and just all of the ridiculousness of the whole pandemic, which I have a hard time calling it a pandemic given the survival rates of what we have going on. But, you know, just to respect everybody that wants me to call it that, I will.
Let me ask you something, John. Since the beginning of COVID, has any one person in all of Washington nailed it as repeatedly as Rand Paul? I mean, he is always right on this. And he looks at numbers, folks. He looks at
that. He's a doctor, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So he's a doctor. So he looks at this in a way that even Andy and I don't because of his background and the fact that he is a doctor. I think he can speak to this with more authenticity and respect than you and I can because of his background, his field, what he's in.
Yeah.
He's in the medical profession. That's what he does.
And he has torn Fauci apart repeatedly, and all rightly so.
Let's play it and see what he has. This he did like a 12-minute speech talking about just the debt and the piling on and what we're doing with COVID and all of that. We're just going to take a short 2 or 3 minute clip out of that and play it, but here we go.
It isn't the pandemic that's killing the economy. It's the government's overzealous response that is killing the economy. The pandemic itself was disrupted, but Congress is being asked to help perpetuate these lockdowns. The more money we give to the states, the more they keep us in lockdown. Every bailout dollar printed and passed out to the governors only allows these tinpot dictators to perpetuate the lockdowns. Their rules are arbitrary and unscientific. Governors and mayors across the country are picking winners and losers. Businesses, some that have been in families for generations, are being wiped out because they're not allowed to open. Restaurants have to close their doors for indoor dining, but then they are told they can open at limited capacity. But then they are told they have to close again. And then they are told they can open outside, and then they're told they can't open outside. Confusing doesn't even explain the half of it. Bars are told that they can only serve alcohol if people are sitting and not standing, and only if they have heavy foods on their menus. Restaurants are told they can serve outdoors, then they have their permission revoked after they've sunk time and money converting their restaurant to outdoor services. But a caterer is told they can still serve outside. Businesses are told they have to close at an arbitrary time determined by government officials as though the virus only comes out late at night. A business in one zip code can open, but one in an adjoining zip code across the street has to close, as if the virus can't cross an imaginary line. Airlines are allowed to fly, but hotels have to limit their occupancy, so you may not have anywhere to stay when you get there. Mom and pop stores and specialty stores are forced to close, but big box store competitors are allowed to stay open. How is any business expected to survive with this kind of arbitrary regulation that changes from day to day? Meanwhile, many schools remain closed, despite overwhelming evidence showing kids can learn safely in person, which means parents can't go to work, which forces parents to leave their jobs and take home and take care of homebound kids. Now, they have no income because the government forced them to leave their jobs to take care of their kids, and many kids are struggling with this improvised virtual school. The need for help is real. I hear it every day from Kentuckians and across the country. But it's clear that government has worsened the economic damage and acted as the biggest obstacle to economic recovery. There is no free money that can get us out of this situation. The only thing that can save us is to open the economy. If we give these tin pot dictators, these governors, more money, they're less likely to open the economy. The answer is not printing up and distributing free money. It's opening the economy. We're not even debating the real answer to this. We're like, just print up the money and shovel it out the door. The deficit be damned. The threat of the destruction of our currency be damned. We can choose to let our economies open with guidance and precautions, but not obstruction. Let people rebuild their livelihoods. Reopen our schools so our kids can return and parents can go back to work. Congress should do away with automatic spending increase.
All right, I'll stop it there. You get the drift.
Yeah.
Again, the majority of all of what he's saying there in that speech are the same things Andy and I have been saying since COVID started.
Right. Basically, we are destroying our economy with restrictions, right?
Yes.
And so what we're going to do is, to prop up today's economy, we're going to blow up the dollar for our kids. We're going to destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to print. Well, what the heck? Why don't we give everybody, you know, $600? What's that supposed to do? Give them each $6,000. Print $6 million for every man, woman, and child in America and give it out. Well, you can't do that. Why not? Why not? If you can do 600, why not 6 million? You're only going to devalue it that much more.
It's all funny money anyways.
It's all funny money anyway. All you're doing is letting people have a little cash right now, and you're telling your kids, hey, I'm going to wreck your dollar going forward.
Precisely. It's exactly what we're doing.
You know, John, I would like to ask you.
And by the way, we're doing it all day long.
Yeah. Let me ask you a simple question. You know, let's say you're a governor and you're one of these people putting on these restrictions, and this ludicrous 5-star rating for restaurants now, all this stuff. Let me ask you something. Who should lose a job so you don't have to protect yourself? You see, because if you're at risk at all, if you're worried about it, if you're just, maybe you're not at risk, maybe you're just paranoid, right? You're one of the noids I always talk about, the noids. We see the noids, folks. They're the people who peer out over their mask that they're wearing while they drive. The nutcases. Okay. If you're annoyed, why do you have to have all of society around you restricted, masked, and distanced so that you don't have to protect yourself at home? If you are terrified of COVID, which you shouldn't be, the numbers say you shouldn't, but if you are, then why can't you stay at home and everybody else function? Okay, so once again, my question, John, who should lose a job so that you don't have to protect yourself? I would like every noid and every governor like Polis to have to point at people and say, that person should lose a job, that person should lose a job, and start picking people who should lose jobs so that they don't have to simply protect themselves.
Well said. I can't argue that. We've had a few text messages come in. We'll try to get to those as we can. I appreciate those, by the way. 307-200-8222 is the text line, 307-200-8222. I'll do my best to get back to those. One of the comments came in and said, you know, capitalism at its best is when, you know, businesses close and it gives opportunity for another business to reopen. I will agree with that to a point. And where I will disagree with that, and this texter, you and I agree 99% of the time. Where I will disagree with this is when the government, though, and right. I realize they do it all the time, but when the government picks winners and losers, I struggle with that. Yes, I do believe there's opportunity, and yes, I believe businesses, we talked about this, I think it was either last week or the week before, on what the actual numbers of businesses that close on an annual basis are. It's over 2 million businesses a year in the United States of America anyways.
Sure,
that's how many just automatically close just without government intervention. That's what happens anyways.
That's the natural cycle.
It's the natural.
What we've seen in 2020 is unnatural.
Yeah, we are the government, let me say this correctly, the government is picking winners and losers and forcing businesses to close and go out of business. I'm still dumbfounded at times where I go to restaurants where they're either serving, you know, food outside or they're doing the takeout only, by the way. I can understand that one because if you're cutting your expenses way, way, way back and you hardly have any staff, all you've got are some chefs and you're running take out, and you may even be doing that at an inflated price from what you were doing before just to make things work. You might actually be doing just fine with just takeout only. I get that one. The ones that I struggle with, and I'm trying to figure out how they're staying in business, is where you've got outdoor dining only, and they can put like 4 tables on the sidewalk, and they're expected to survive with 4 tables. Those are the restaurants I'm trying to figure out how do you stay in business.
Right. They've got 4 or 5 pup tents out there.
Whatever it is, yeah.
It's ridiculous, John. And it's unfair. Keep in mind, take a step back, John. The reason we're doing all of that is just so a few noids don't have to protect themselves.
That's right. I agree. I've got an example of some things along the lines of what Andy just said. As we go through today's program, we'll get to that. We'll take a break, though. We'll come back. Casey Welch, though, is going to join us real quick. I know a lot of you listening have kids. In fact, we've had some that we've interviewed even on our program that are trying to figure out how to get into college, how to do the admission process, how to make all this happen when they haven't been in school. I mean, they're doing this stuff all remotely. How do you then transfer all of that and make sure that you're getting into college if that's what you're choosing to do? How do you make that happen? Casey Welch from Tallow is going to join us in a moment and talk about that. So those of you that have kids or even have grandkids of that age, stay tuned. We'll talk to him in just one moment. Franktown Firearms is next, folks. And I say this a lot, and I mean it. You know, exercise your Second Amendment right. If you don't own a weapon, go buy one. If you don't know how to use a weapon, go learn how. If you don't know what ammo to use or what to even buy in the first place, you know, how do I make this work? What caliber do I buy? What type of gun do I buy? Franktown can walk you through all of that because it's not a one-size-fits-all. Think of buying a gun like buying a car. We have hundreds of different makes and models. Why? Because everybody's a different size, shape. They need something different with the vehicle they buy. Owning a gun is exactly the same way. Now, at the end of the day, you know, does a typical gun that's functioning properly, when you pull the trigger, does it fire? Yes, I get that. Just like when you turn the key on a car that's running properly, it starts. Okay, That's about where it ends, though, on the similarities when it comes to buying a gun.
Oh, it's totally different in the hands. When Corey, my wife, holds hers, and when I hold mine, if we switch them, the thing is totally wrong.
It's totally different. Exactly. So, perfect example. KLZradio.com is where you find Frank Towner. Call him at 720-770-7777.
The team at Franktown Firearms designed their indoor shooting range to be an oasis from the outside world where you can relax, unwind, and blow off a little steam. They've worked hard to keep their shelves stocked and prices low so they can provide a welcoming place to practice, learn, and take a break for a while. You may be seeing wiped out shelves everywhere else, but not at Franktown Firearms. The team at Franktown Firearms want to help you become an educated, well-trained, confident shooter. So they make sure you have everything you need to practice, including ammo. Buy a gun at Franktown, and they will have ammo for you to train with at a fair price. As a member of Franktown Firearms, you can reserve lane time 7 days a week, including after hours, so you can come by after work. Sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/Franktown. Mention Rush to Reason for a discount on your initiation fee. Franktown Firearms. Save money. Get treated well.
All right, Golden Eagle Financial is next, and Al wants to help you out with your financial planning as you move forward into 2021. Give him a call today and figure out when the best time to meet with him would be as we head into the new year. KLZradio.com or 303-744-1128.
You have the money. Now you need a plan. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial specializes in retirement planning, teaching you how to preserve your wealth so you have enough money to last. You've already done the heavy lifting by saving diligently all of your adult life, but you still feel uncertain about what your retirement will look like. You have the money, now you need the plan. As a fiduciary advisor, Al Smith will show you how to protect your savings from unnecessary taxes, when to file for Social Security, and how to minimize risk. Unlike a stockbroker who earns a commission every time they buy or sell on your behalf, Golden Eagle Financial offers stable, long-term guidance so you know what to expect for you and your family's future. Visit klzradio.com/money to set up a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Rather than struggling, you can expand your business with John Rush as your personal business coach. No matter what business you're in, it's always a mistake to wait, hold off, and see what happens. Now is the time to move forward. Two of John's clients are expanding right now, moving into new industries because they see an opportunity. John believes that as long as you fill a need, there's no reason not to grow. Send an email to John at rushtoreason.com and run your ideas by him today.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Susan at Premier Manufacturing says, "In the 2+ years I've been with Premier Manufacturing, my interaction with BES has been nothing but positive. When we have a service issue, they do their best to have someone sent out that same day, and the service people have always been friendly, efficient, and professional." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or have a problem with equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, your engineer, Casey Welsh, joining us now. And Casey's been on before from Tallow. Welcome, Casey. How are you, sir?
Hey, thanks for having me on the show today.
No, I appreciate having you back, I should say. I know there's a lot of folks that are listening to us right now that have either, you know, teenagers or even grandkids that are that of that age that have been, you know, working from home. You know, school's not in session in a lot of cases. I shouldn't say in session, but in-person learning is not happening right now. And yet these kids are looking to go to college this next fall. Casey, what do they do?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, five quick tips that we have is, and we've been helping over a million students across the country on this next step to college. I think the first step is to realize that, you know, this is a really stressful time. The pandemic has not made it any easier for them. So this is a great time to remind them that they're not alone, and that you're behind them. And if they need help and support, it's also a great time to start getting a mentor lined up. Why that's important, they get the mentors lined up. They're going to need, as they go to college, they're going to need recommendation letters. They're going to need guidance as they go through it. This is a perfect downtime to be able to get those lined up so they're ready. A couple other quick
Casey, I'm sorry, I just got to jump in. How do you line up a mentor? Do you guys have a step-by-step that you provide? How do they do that?
Yeah, so we provide a few tools for that. So whether they're trying to look at a mentor as a guidance counselor, a teacher, whether they want to line up somebody in the community or maybe somebody that just went through the process. So on Talo, we help connect with some of those and give them a tool to help guide them through it. But it's also some things that they can do outside of Talo to make sure you get those lined up before all the other students grab those teachers and those educators as well.
Okay. Perfect.
Next thing I would stress is it's a great time to make your application stand out. And in a time when everything is virtual, there's a lot of platforms like LinkedIn and others that help showcase yourself. But if you want to really take it to that next level and showcase everything comprehensively, what you're doing, extracurriculars, videos, accomplishments, that's one of the things that we have seen students across the country really take advantage of Talo for right now. The other two couple things are, when you think about college applications, extracurriculars always come up. And we've heard students across the country, the traditional ways of being involved in extracurriculars aren't there. So some ways that we've seen students do it, some tips, is they're looking at virtual opportunities. So going on and seeing how they can do some community service virtually, how they can tutor students virtually, and then they're adding that to their Talo profiles to help them stand apart. And the last thing, John, I'd throw out there is, it's one thing to get into college. It's another thing to be able to afford it, especially in these times. And so we've been helping students to connect. We have over $20 billion in scholarships and financial aid on the platform that when they build the profile to showcase themselves for that college application, it automatically matches it to them. This is a great time to get those lined up as well so that when they do get that acceptance letter, they also figure out a way of how they can afford it if that's an obstacle.
Well said. I like it. And on top of that, Casey, and I know here in Colorado, we've even had situations where we've had students where they're writing letters to the governor talking about how they need to be back in person and so on. And I get that. In fact, some of these kids have gotten some really good press out of that. And I'm not saying that's what every student needs to do, but I do think if kids are frustrated with some of what's going on, one of the steps that they could take is to do exactly what some of these kids here locally are doing, and letter to the editor, whatever it happens to be. It's a way for them to get involved. And in a way, it even adds to what you're talking about in regards to their own resume.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's the thing. So often, right, you talk about the students in Colorado doing it, or you see students getting behind movements in this country, right, whether they're supporting inequity and injustices, and they're participating in, marches or letters of commitment or involvement. Those all count, and those are important things that they can showcase on their profiles to, again, help differentiate themselves and be able to engage in a new norm that we're dealing with in the education as well as the corporate world.
Well said. How do they find Talo?
Talo.com, TALLO.com. It's free for them to get started, and they can join the million other and the 20,000 plus in Colorado already participating.
Perfect. Casey, I appreciate it. Thanks for the update, sir.
Hey, take care.
You bet. Take care. I do appreciate it. And for all of you listening, young kids especially, a lot of what he just said is spot on, and whether you agree even with the political end of things or not, I don't necessarily agree with, certain things that students do and so on. But I will agree with Casey on this. The more involved you are in your community, whether it's even on the right or the left, doesn't make any difference. But the more involved you are and the more you can put on your resume, the better off you are on down the road. By the way, not even with just college, but that comes down to even as you go to look for a job on down the road. Believe it or not, employers look at those things. What did you, what kind of, for me as an employer, by the way, this is how I look at it. What did my applicant do during high school besides sit around, veg out, and play video games? Because if all they did was sit around, veg out, and play video games, and there was nothing else there that they did, and I get another candidate that comes in, Andy, that's got a lot of things they did in their high school days, and they volunteered, and they did this, and they did that, maybe they did, some preliminary ROTC or whatever, you name it. You all sorts of things that these kids can get involved in. The kids that were more involved, as an employer, just sort of naturally gravitate towards those kids and think, wow, this is a pretty sharp kid I'm talking to.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what things that they were involved in, but right. Yeah. And whatever you do, you want to list it.
Yeah, and for me, I know that there's a lot of organizations out there that you can get involved in as a student, and you know, whether it's volunteering, you know, whether it's, you know, Denver Rescue Mission stuff, whether it's inside your church and your youth group, whether it's in conservative, you name, whatever it happens to be, whatever suits your fancy. Let's face it, you don't want to go volunteer and do something that you're not going to be good at. But if you're actually good at something and you enjoy it, go volunteer and build some stuff on your resume, because it will help out later on down the road.
Right. I think a prospective employer is going to look at that also and see that you can work with a team.
Right.
You can function in a group, because a lot of people, they'll come in, you've hired them, they come in and they look fine on a resume, they look fine on their own, and mm-hmm. the second you have them interact with others, they're backbiting, they're stabbing, right. They're not making it work.
You just keyed something else too, Andy, that I think about as I'm looking at interviews, and I know this is true for a lot of other employers as well. The other thing that happens for any of us, by the way, this is true for anybody. If you're involved in a volunteer organization and you can function well in a volunteer organization where nobody's paying you to do what you're doing, it bodes well on your resume, because people, again, look at what I just said and say, wait a minute, this individual did X and there's no payola there. I mean, they just did that because either it was something they learned, it was a learning experience, or it was something they enjoyed doing, or they wanted to give back to the community, or whatever the case may be. But it shows you can work among others without a paycheck.
Yeah, and you know one other thing, John? It shows that that person's probably going to appreciate their paycheck a little bit more.
To me, as an employer, anytime I look at those things, I'm just laying it out for those of you that are in high school that are looking down the road, or even some that may be in college looking down the road, it's not necessarily how smart you were, what your grade, you know, just as a side note, I don't really care what your grade point average is. I mean, if the higher, the better. I mean, I get it. Okay, if you're a 4.0 student, that means you work hard and so on, whatever. But that's not the whole ticker to me. I want to know more of what we just said versus what was your grade point average.
John, I'll go a step further. Grade point average, or whether or not you have a degree,
doesn't
matter. I would say, virtually no bearing on whether somebody turns out to be a good employee.
It doesn't.
And I'm not being
honest. No, you're being honest. Thank you. Because it's the truth. Because those things don't really have any indication of how well of a worker you're going to be. I've seen a lot of solid 4.0 students that couldn't hold a job down.
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
They know what it takes to get the grade, but they don't know what it takes to work in the workplace.
Yeah. By the way, John, so much of what it takes to get a grade, because of how the socialist public school system is put together, so much of how it takes to get a grade has nothing to do with how it takes to make the grade in the free market.
Well said. I'll leave it at that. Well said, Andy. Michael Bailey Law, Mobile Estate Planning is next. Michael wants to help you out with all of your estate planning needs. And one of those things we think about as we get to the end of the year, you know, I don't care if you're young, healthy, you know, you don't think you've got a lot of assets. The reality is, if you have a family, a house, some cars, and so on, you've got assets that need to be dealt with, and you need to make sure that your estate is in order. Give Michael Bailey a call today. It's really simple. Find him at klzradio.com or 720-394-6887.
I am the ghost of Legal Future. No one wants to think about me, but I'm really not such a bad guy. I only need to ask you a few questions about your final wishes so that KLZ's mobile estate planner, Michael Bailey of Michael Bailey Law, can protect your kids from making tough decisions. Stop ignoring me for an hour or two, and I promise to leave all of you alone. Otherwise, I may end up haunting your kids after all. Get rid of me for good at klzradio.com/estate so the future doesn't scare you.
All right, Purifoy Chevrolet is up next. Rolly Purifoy was actually on with me on Haystack Help today. We had a little fun and went around the table and talked about Christmas and history and just some fun stuff. And Rolly's a great guy, and if you've never bought a car from him, you're missing out. It really is a great dealership to buy a car at, car, truck, SUV, you name it. They've got it all, new and used. And don't forget, the new C8 Corvette is out there. How do I know that? Because it's mine sitting on the showroom floor. You're welcome to go buy and see. In Fort Lupton, Highway 85 and Highway 52, it's easy to find, 303-659-8311, or find them at purifoychevrolet.com.
Hi, my name is Denny. I've been a customer of Purifoy Chevrolet since 1994, and I got attracted to Purifoy because I was and still am a Corvette enthusiast. And they were recommended to me to do modifications to my Corvette, and it's transpired into over a 25-year relationship now with the dealership. over the course of the years, I probably purchased 24 Corvettes and numerous company vehicles for my business, and it's just been an outstanding relationship all these years. If you're a Corvette enthusiast, there's probably not a better place to take a Corvette for service or any modifications you'd like to make. And from the day I came up there back in 1992, you just come away impressed. I've known Rolly now for 20-some years, and a good business relationship turned into a very, very good personal friendship.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
This is the opposite of the dog barking song that usually gets played at Christmas. This is the feline version, Charlie.
We have a very troubled producer. That's all I can say.
That's good. I love it. All right, Mark, you called in earlier before we took Casey on as a pre-scheduled guest. If you want to call back in and give us a comment on just the whole stimulus package and all that's going on there, feel free to do so. 303-477-5600. Love to chat because, I've said this all along. It wasn't going to happen. I don't care how much screaming and hollering those of us in this position do. The reality is they're going to do a stimulus package no matter what. Why? Because everybody's demanding it, Wall Street included. You are not going to get away from doing one. Was $900 billion a bargain? I don't know, Andy. It's a lot of money still.
Well, gee, it's not as bad as it would have been. But let's keep in mind, Joe Biden immediately came out and said, oh, this is just the beginning.
Right.
Well, and also, who's the head of the Senate? What's his name? Schumer.
Schumer. Chuck.
He said,
Chucky.
This, yeah.
Chucky boy.
Or the minority Senate leader right now. Let's hope it stays that way. He came out and said, this is just the beginning. We're going to do more. And I'm just like, you mean you're going to give more to special interests?
Right.
That's all you're going to do. You're just going to blow up more of our – it's incredible watching this.
And we'll get into this a little bit later as we have time because there were things in this particular stimulus package that a lot of you, and I am one, wouldn't agree with. I mean, we're giving money even to other countries and doing things with it that, quite frankly, should not be in a stimulus package at all. This should be a stimulus package for us in this country, if we're going to do one at all, not to run around the world with.
Agreed. There shouldn't be one dime going outside our country. Other countries can spend on theirs. I mean, what are we doing? This is crazy.
We've got businesses that are closing because we won't open them up, and yet all we want to do, to Rand Paul's point earlier, is throw government money at them, somehow hoping that's going to fix the problem, which, in fact, it's not.
Can I bring somebody up named Tulsi Gabbard?
Sure.
She has been surprising me lately.
With some of the things she has said?
And some of the things she's put out. First of all, what was it, like 2 weeks ago, she puts out and co-sponsors a bill to protect the life of a newborn baby who has survived an abortion. She's pro-choice, and she put that out. That surprised me. She has been trying to put herself on the map lately and just making all kinds of comments and doing things. Now, she has come out.
Which, by the way, her party hates her for.
Oh, they despise her. Now, she came out and did one. Now, her solution is like a socialist solution, okay? But at least she's going after a socialist problem. And by the way, if she got her way, it would really hurt a lot of Democrats. Big money Democrats will see their money going to Republicans. Let me describe what it is. She wants us to put a 95% tax. It's ludicrous. Okay, it's ludicrous. On the windfall profits for major companies who have prospered during COVID. Now,
by the way, how do you determine that?
Okay, well, here's how. She says what she does is takes their 2020 earnings versus the average of 2016 through 2019. All right. But set that aside for a second. One part of her reasoning, though, was actually very fair. I'm not saying it's a good solution.
She wants to distribute it to others, right?
She wants that money going straight to all the small businesses and their leaders who have been put out of business. She wants all that money taken from Amazon, from Walmart, and from them. And, you know, like I said, 95%, she's nuts. That's crazy. But here's why, John. Because the reason Amazon and Walmart and these people have prospered this year has nothing to do with capitalism. It has nothing to do with the free market. These are huge donors to Democrat politicians, and governors like Polis who destroyed their competition and ran their competition into the ground. You constantly coach these small businesses, and you coach them to adapt to their surroundings, adapt to the market, and so forth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but the problem with that is ruining whole rows of small businesses has nothing to do with their lack of ability to adapt. Amazon already has a business model. Their business model is delivery. Their business model is you can order online. And you
actually, I'll even argue that.
Well, but
their business model is, and everybody forgets about this, they do tons of behind-the-scenes things that nobody ever even sees the revenue for when it comes to servers and things like that. And then also, they actually sell, believe it or not, they're probably their biggest revenue stream is what?
Just online sales that subscriptions.
Subscription. Right. Amazon Prime.
Sure.
But, huge numbers there.
But to get products out, they have had it already in place to do widespread delivery, whereas the retail shops that people go to, you know, it's the nice thing there is you go see, feel, hear, touch, smell the stuff and all this. Well, here's the thing. Jeff Bezos and guys like him own a lot of Democrat politicians, including Jared Polis. And so what they do is they have their politician buddies put out these restrictions that destroy Jeff Bezos's, it's hard to say, competition, making a lot more people go to Jeff Bezos and say, please send me stuff. The thing is this, they have used their political clout during COVID and their massive donations to use crony socialism to destroy capitalism. They have destroyed their competitors using crony socialism, not using competitive capitalism on a level playing field at all. They destroyed the level playing field with their ability to influence policymakers. And so what she's saying is we should take their windfall profits and disperse it to those they destroyed.
Yep.
She goes too far, obviously, but it's interesting that she's actually going after Democrats, rich Democrats, for the benefit of the small business owner.
Mark and Black Forest, what do you think, sir?
Hey, John, Andy. I just want to bring up a couple points that nobody's talking about regarding the stimulus. You know, obviously this isn't the first time. I also want to say that, you know, we talk about it in terms of government money. It's not the government's money.
No, it's our money.
Whether it's tax money.
And even at this point, Mark, it's not. Real quick, make sure we get this straight. In this case, Mark, you're right. It's not our money. In fact, it's government has no money. But this is money that we as taxpayers are borrowing in the future for at this point. So it's not even our money today, Mark. You and I are just going to be paying we're paying interest on what happened years and years ago. And the next generation will be paying for this, not even us.
We're liable for it.
Yep.
So are our kids.
That's right.
But another thing that's not talked about is all the collateral damage. I mean, we talk about, you know, we're another $2-4 trillion in debt, you know, big deal. But it is real. It's you know, it turns up in inflation because, you know, you're increasing the money supply.
That's right.
So all of our life savings is, you know, the buying power that we have is going down. You know, the next thing, you know, next year, you know, they're going to be clamoring for a higher minimum wage because, you know, that $15 an hour doesn't buy anything.
That's right.
They're going to want $20 an
hour.
That's right. It's just vicious circle. Our life savings.
No, you're correct. You're correct. The only buddy really, Mark, that inflation helps, and I've talked about this with Kurt Rogers. So, for example, somebody that's got a house mortgage today at, say, 2.5%, as that money goes up, as you just talked about, which I believe what you're saying is correct, it is going to inflate and is going to go up. The ones that benefit from that going up in that particular situation are folks that have debt. So if you've got business debt or you've got, you know, a mortgage debt, and 5 years from now you're paying that back with inflated dollars, it just helps that particular individual. But it does so much other damage along the way, Mark, that it's not fair to a lot of other individuals that aren't in that position.
Yeah, basically your debt is just worth so much less.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Well, that's why they love to loan money to foreign countries, right? Because they get to pay it back with dollars that are worth less.
Right. Yes.
That's the government. The government's not, I mean, yeah, real estate's the same principle. You know, our government uses the same principle when they're loaning money to foreign governments and foreigners, period.
Yes, yeah. The only reason we've talked about this, over and over again on the program, we're going to continue to talk about it in 2021 because you also know it's coming, Mark, as well as I. But inflation's coming. The only reason why it hasn't come is because of everything we're talking about in regards to COVID and the shutdowns and the lack of growth because of certain, businesses just flat out not being open, not allowing people to go there and spend money and so on. But as soon as things open back up and we see people spending money again, Mark, yeah, I think you're going to see some inflation. How much are we going to see? Probably more than what the Fed, you and I both know, the Federal Reserve wants to see, 2 to 2.5% or so inflation rate on an annual basis. I would venture to guess 2021, depending upon when things open up, that's the whole key to this, Mark, is when things open up, I think it'll be higher than that. But I could be wrong if they keep things shut down till June.
John?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? What do you think on inflation?
I just wonder. I mean, it seems like the general public has no idea what the consequences are of this.
Of course they don't.
And they even wonder about the politicians. I mean, there was only five, right? Five senators that voted against this.
Mark, real quick, I want to interrupt you real quick because what you just said is very important. The reason why I can tell you that these politicians don't know anything about what we're talking about is why in God's green earth would they allow this PPP money that they loaned everybody to then not be claimed as income after you're allowed to also take the expenses against money that you've given them? It's the only time I can ever remember that we've now got a government allowing you to double dip on the tax side of the fence. That shows you how much these guys don't understand how even taxes work, Mark.
Yeah. Well, they don't understand it. They're ignoramuses.
They are. They're ignorant. They're very, when it comes to money, Mark, they're very ignorant.
Yeah.
So,
or
well said.
Even if they do know, I think they just, they just see it a way of buying votes, so they don't care.
Yeah, Mark, you could be, and I'll let you go with that. I appreciate it. Possibly, although, Andy, I think in a lot of cases, I was talking to Richard about this, I really don't think that it is just about buying votes. I truly do believe that with the exception of the Rand Pauls that are there, which there's only a handful of those guys and gals floating around, I will tell you the majority of politicians don't have a clue what we're talking about, even when it comes to the taxation and the double dipping that's now being allowed. I don't think they understand it.
No, I don't either. And can I ask you a quick question on inflation?
Sure.
Because you said you don't know when next year it's going to start kicking in,
right?
When the economy starts rushing back in. After that point, once it does, predict inflation for the next four quarters.
Okay, I'll come back to that. Perfect question. We'll do that in a second. American National Insurance is next. Make sure you're properly insured, folks. You got to do that no matter what. You've got assets. You've got things you need to get insured. Make sure it's done properly. Call Paul today. He's my agent. He would love to help you out. 303-662-0789.
Your home insurance should include the stuff inside your house, too. The personal insurance agent of John Rush, Paul Leuenberger, with American National Insurance, remains one of very few agents who will sit down with you and ask specific, detailed questions, making sure that in a disaster, you will be made financially whole. After a fire, you won't only need a new place to live, you'll also need to replace your gun collection and your jewelry. In those situations, you don't want to work with an agent you found online. You want to talk to someone who knows you, someone who will take the initiative to call and see how you're doing. Even in less disastrous situations, such as accidentally dropping your wedding ring down the sink, the proper coverage with Paul will make you financially whole. Paul Leuenberger can't relieve the emotional loss of a family heirloom, but he will make sure that you can replace your possessions at their full financial value. Call 303-662-0789 for the coverage you expect.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Okay, Andy asked me a question before going to break. What do I think inflation is going to do in 2021? We'll talk more about this, by the way, in the 4 o'clock hour because I'm glad Andy asked. It's a great topic and it affects every single one of us around the entire globe, not just Americans, by the way, because what goes on in the U.S. goes on elsewhere. To answer Andy's question, once things get opened up and we really start taking off again, which I do believe the economy will do because of the money that's been sitting on the sidelines, I don't think it'll be 2.5%. I think it's going to be a minimum of 5% inflation. And I think that'll come rather quickly just because of even the lack of supply of certain items that will drive that up. We can talk more about that at 4 o'clock because I don't think most people out there listening right now really understand what I mean by lack of supply in some areas. And it's real right now.
I totally agree, John. Cash is way up And yet the resources that it represents are, if anything, down.
That's exactly right. We'll come back, talk more about that at 4 o'clock. If you're listening to us in the replay hour, thank you so much. We'll be back tomorrow for Health and Wellness Wednesday. Otherwise, Andy and I will be back. Hour number two is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.